Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Guess who?
Hello, place to go. Darling,
I'll give you two chances.
Hello, place to go. Hello, place to go.
That's right. It's me.
Goodbye, baby.
6:15, Steve Cochran Show. We'll come back. No, we can't come back. I forgot it's Friday. Well, I'm not supposed to be here, so no wonder I'm thrown off.
Yeah, what are you doing here?
Turns out you can't leave O'Hare unless you have an airplane.
Yeah.
Yesterday's storm caused a tremendous amount of backups, 500 flight cancellations, I think, during the time I was there. And I started out flying to Syracuse, New York on United. Then I flipped to American, flying on American to Rochester. Then I flipped on American, flying American to Buffalo. All three flights were canceled. And then I was told the earliest we can get you there is midnight Friday night.
That doesn't get it done, does it?
No, this reunion scheduled for 6 o'clock Friday night tonight, so not going to happen. Anyway, more on this in a moment. As you just said, the British Open's getting more interesting. The scores are good today, and the leaderboard is tightening up. Tiger Woods actually might even make the cut if he continues on this
Yeah, course. he's still
in trouble?
Ways. He is at...
is he at five?
He's at five.
He's got to get
no,
to one.
No, he's at six. He just just bogeyed.
Good night, Tiger.
So he's at six over with, what's he got? He's got 11 holes left.
Yeah. He's going to need to get it back to one. Busy show today, as always. Thanks, Justin, for filling in yesterday. But, you know, I figured you missed me. I was going to be in town anyway, I might as well come in and do the show.
We're glad to see you.
This is the end of the summer of Steve, apparently.
Yes.
At 6:16, we'll come back and do the top six. That's right. I keep saying we're going to come back. What day is today? Is today Friday?
Today is Friday.
No. I'm on a Thursday schedule. Let's do the top six right now.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
With the top six at six. Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
Thank God this global warming thing's a fraud. Crazy hot weather the next 2 days. The heat index is 105 to 115. And it's going to feel hotter than that where you are because it's going to be affecting you. So I plan on hearing a lot of people going, oh, God, it's hot. Matter of fact, why don't you have a little fun with your family? See who whines the most over the next couple of days. But you should take this very seriously, the same way you would take a blizzard seriously in the wintertime. Heat is dangerous, and it's dangerous in a subtle way, like a really hot girl at a reunion you haven't seen in years.
Nice.
Is this kind of what you were thinking about this weekend?
Absolutely not. Okay. I don't know. How dare you? But dangerously hot temperatures, and we will go over for the umpteenth time, and yes, that's a number. The significant symptoms of heat troubles that you need to be aware of. But if you can't stay inside, stay inside. If you have air conditioning, celebrate it. I don't know who invented air conditioning, but kiss them right on the mouth today. Be advised, the weather is also taking its toll on O'Hare and Midway. I was but one of those. Many, many. O'Hare was as crazy as I've ever seen it yesterday. I mean, it looked like a Christmas blizzard had blown in. It was that kind of busy. And people lined up forever. I was just one of those. And, you know, there's bigger problems in the world. Can't get where you're going to get. No point yelling at anybody.
The good news in all of this, Steve, is that by Sunday, it'll break. It'll be cooler. Lakeside at 83 away from the lake. Only 79 on Monday. Just barely 80 on Tuesday with much cooler, less humid weather. So
that's why.
The next couple days will be fine.
Yeah, be smart the next couple days. That's why I'm flipping to my fur-covered thong. Starting on Sunday, just to, you know, keep the chill off.
What a great mental picture.
Try to get that out of your head all weekend. Next, the active shooter training drill you may have heard about yesterday was, in fact, a training drill, but it went epically wrong. Steve, I thought you had a good explanation of this on the show this morning, that being that some places don't want people to know there's even going to be a drill for imagery reasons.
Well, yeah, I mean, but this is just an epic failure. I mean, you got
No, I'm not saying it's not a failure. I'm just saying part of the reason that people don't talk about it and then a drill becomes something that gets so much worse is because people don't want you to know that you don't want the general public to know, customers, clients, things of that nature, that, you know, you're in a possibly dangerous situation.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, it's I think it's six of one, half dozen of another. You're damned if you do and damned if you don't,
yep.
Right?
Yeah. Yep, without a doubt. Mass panic, police response, 225 West Randolph, after someone on the seventh floor reported an active shooter. Everybody thought it was real at that point that wasn't actively involved. Shortly after, they realized that the drill was happening in the building. We didn't know in advance it was a drill. It was a communication problem. Maria Dampier, who works on the 18th, said her managers were as baffled as she was with the commotion. You know, as Steve well said, you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't.
You see what she said, that when they got downstairs, there were guns pointed at them?
Yeah, it didn't feel like a drill, did it?
Oh, from like the Chicago police, though.
Yeah.
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 Well, and I heard that it was a text message testing the new alert system saying there's an active shooter. If you're testing an alert system, why don't you just send a text message that says test?
Yeah, that's possible. Sure, exactly. Or do the EBS thing, the EES thing, whatever mm-hmm. it's called now. This is only a test.
Yeah.
Next. We're still trying to figure out where to put a casino in Chicago in downtown. We could have it here. It could be kind of cool on the 18th floor here.
I don't think we... Well,
we don't really have the room.
Squeeze a little bit.
Yeah, we'll get some slot machines back there, maybe a couple of poker tables. Lori Lightfoot, she'd be your mayor, says here are some of the sites that are still possible. Harborside Golf Course down the highway.
Too windy.
It is too windy. You know, when they're dealing, you don't want the wind to sweep your cards
no.
away if you've got blackjack. I don't even consider that the city. I mean, that's out of town. I know
yeah.
it is, but it's out of town.
Right. It's far.
The former Michael Reese Hospital at 31st and Cottage Grove, Pershing Road and State Street, Roosevelt and Costner, and the former U.S. Steel parcel at 80th and Lakeshore Drive. Gamble accordingly. Next. Donald Trump lying again. This is a real shocker. Donald Trump said that he disagreed with the send her back chant that came up about Representative Omar the other night during his rally. And the go-back tweet that he had sent last weekend said he spoke up very quickly, or started talking very quickly, and he was against it. Just watch the video. I don't care if you like Trump or don't like Trump. Just watch the video. All of this could be put under the umbrella. How stupid do we look? And it's just a bad lie. It's not even a good lie. It's a bad lie.
And we'll see what happens at the next rally, because you know this is not going to stop at just one rally. So we'll see what he does at the next rally.
Next, Hawks camp leads up to Hawks.
Convention?
I almost called it a festival. Next Friday, you and I will open it?
Yes. Well,
with our traditional
we'll
interpretive dance?
The opening, yes. The opening ceremonies at 5 o'clock next Friday.
And I will host, along with Adam Burrish, a variety show afterwards with Hawks players. So stick around for that. And there are still, I'm told, not a lot. There's a couple of tickets here and there and a couple of rooms here and there. So you got to get on that at Chicago Blackhawks website, ChicagoBlackhawks.com. Just Google that up and they'll get you there. Or call the Hilton Chicago directly. If the Hawks were to name captains from the camp concluding scrimmage Friday morning, Kirby Dock would be putting up a good case. He had a very, very good couple of days. Nice kid, too. He was the one that was in here, Dave.
Yeah, I wasn't here.
Yeah, he's a nice kid.
Yeah.
He asked about
it. I'm glad. Yeah. They had him mic'd up the other day. Mm-hmm. Blackhawks TV mic'd him up. It's really interesting. You check that out at ChicagoBlackhawks.com.
And he's so young, his voice hasn't changed yet.
That's true.
Hey, has anyone told my mom how good I'm doing? He's very young. And finally this. Police say a Florida man threw his 5-year-old son in the Atlantic Ocean to teach him how to swim. Sink or swim? Is this 1945? I mean, who does this?
My husband did it with my dog last weekend.
And I'm here to tell you it happened in the 1970s, too. I know a lot of my I have little friends when I was little that this happened to them, that their dad threw them in the lake to teach them how to. I mean, this happened a lot back when I was a kid.
Okay, here's a bulletin, everybody. It's not okay.
No.
It's not okay. WBA Baltimore reports former Georgia State Trooper Mitch Brown was vacationing in Daytona Beach, witnessed a child struggling in large waves and deep water as the father repeatedly dove off a nearby pier. He couldn't sit by and watch. He confronted the man, escorted him to a nearby police officer, placed the father under arrest. John Bloodsworth faces child abuse and public intoxication charges. That's the nice part.
Oh,
not only was it a great family moment,
oh my God.
He was drunk and decided this would be a good time to throw him in the water.
Mm-hmm.
You know, memories of my childhood. We'll come back and get Lou in a second.
That's it!
That's all today for the Top 6 at 6.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
It's Lou's First Call with Lou Manfredini and Steve Cochran. Brought to you by American Weathermakers.
American Weathermakers, we won't be comfortable until you are.
It's the time of the show for Lou's First Call.
6:29, and Mark is in Caribbean. It'll be Lou's First Call in a second, but Lou, we need to start with the heat.
It's hot.
Very, very hot. I would suggest picking up a garden hose from your local Ace Hardware and just spending the day spraying it in your face.
Oh, my gosh. That sounds so refreshing.
Right?
It is unbelievable.
What else do you sell at Ace? Let's go right to the last part of this regular feature, which I invented, which is what can I buy at Ace this week, which is cool. Give me something to cool me off.
I think the best $20 anybody will spend is on a couple of Lasco box fans, which are locally made here.
They're $20. That's cheap.
About $20. And three-speed fans that you're going to place in your home. A couple quick tips for this, and I'm going to be giving some of those this morning on the TV as well. Take your thermostat and go from auto to fan on and let that blower fan run now until Monday morning.
Okay.
Don't worry about that. It does not use a lot of electricity. The blower motor is meant to run. It will help to keep the circulation in the home, if you have central air, more consistent and will actually could cause your condensing unit on the outside to run less. I posted a video up on my Facebook page about cleaning the condensing unit on the outside of your home. Anybody can do this. That garden hose, Steve, you talked about?
Yeah, flush it.
Put a sprayer on it and spray the sides of the condensing unit from the top down and get all the debris and cottonwood and everything that's clogged that over the spring and summer. Some people are like, oh, the technicians will say you're gonna trap dirt in there. Not true. Just spray at the top, hose the thing down, it'll clean it all up. And it'll help the system run more efficiently. And then if you have a home with a basement, and you have a basement door, keep that door closed. If you don't, if the staircase is open, and you'll notice that down in the basement it's super cold, and upstairs it's super hot, try adjust the vents on the lower levels, about 50%, close them, so that you force more air up, and take that box fan I told you to buy at the bottom of the stairs, angle it up, turn it on high, and let it blow up. It's not going to blow any cold air up into the space, but it's going to create pressure so that the cold air that you're producing from your air conditioner doesn't go down the stairs as quickly as it would without the fan.
Aha!
So, Lou, when you spray the AC unit,
yep,
and you've got the fan spinning on the top of the unit,
you'll at least get splashed in the face, and that's what Steve said. You'll be nice and cool. I mean, right, people are like, good. Oh, you
it's
should
a win-win.
Yeah, you should turn it off. Sure, you could turn it off, but it sits outside in the rain anyway, so don't spray the fan, the top of it, the sides, the fins on the side. Those are the cooling fins.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, let me get to our first caller, and this is the first caller each week. You obviously get the medal. You get the right. Participation
a
ribbon.
Button. Star.
Invited to the meeting. Mark, what's your question?
Well, my question is about Japanese beetles. We've had a lot of them, I've noticed, on mostly red leaves on plants. And last year they ate a new plum tree that took all summer to recover. So my question is,
Japanese beetles.
I've been using that bait product and wondering if I'm also, while I'm killing Japanese beetles, killing pollinators like butterflies and bees as well.
Oh, is look there, at you. Look at you concerned about the nature ecosystem. By the way, Japanese
sure.
Beetle song, my favorite, Lou, I think yours as well.
It's on the White Album.
It's Arigato. You say goodbye, I say arigato. It's one of my favorites. Mark, hold on. We'll get you an answer.
Yeah, so no, you're not, because they typically, the when you're spraying that stuff on there, what it does is the bug lands on it and starts to eat, or, you know, takes a lick or whatever and doesn't like it. It does its best Yaziel Puig, and then you're off to the races. But one product I would like you to try that's organic, which I would rather you use, especially with fruit trees, is a product that Bonag makes called Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew. And you can use this on edibles. And they make it in a small spray bottle, but they also make a concentrate. It's what I use. Mix it into a pump sprayer. And if you spray it, it will last up to 2 weeks. And you can spray it on your tomatoes, on your fruit trees, on your ornamental plants, whatever it may be. And it's safe to use, and it's very effective. Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew.
Desktop Indoor Weather Station brought to you by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, 60-minute event, AmericanWeathermakers.com. That's for Mark in Cary. You got any other hot weather stuff we ought to be dealing with?
I'll tell you, those HVAC guys like American Weathermakers, they are they're super busy right now, because this is the time where this little bit of maintenance that I talked about, Steve, really will can help you with the need of an emergency service call. Because if that condensing unit is working too hard, people that are fortunate enough to have central air conditioning, you can blow out relays and sensors, and then, you know, literally a service call comes in, they go click click, they plug in a new one, and they're like $300. Now when you need them, you need them. One other thing too is, if you're using window units, there's a filter on the inside of a unit that you should pull out. You may not know this, but not the part that blows the air that you feel the cold air coming at you, but underneath that, usually there's an intake filter that if you pull out, you'll notice is super clogged. Take it over to the sink, rinse it all out, and put it back inside. And if you have the ability to hose off the sides of the window unit on the outside, if it's on the first floor, do that as well, because that will help tremendously.
What's the name of the chipmunk repellent device, the texture chipmunk repellent device you mentioned a couple weeks ago?
It is called the Bonide Mole Max Spike. Very nice. Romano doing that sound effect?
Sound effect? That's an actual chipmunk.
Oh, it is right there.
No, I'm the duck.
He's the duck.
I know you got to go, but before you go, let's remind people, too, of this. Mary Elizabeth texts us from 708. Two of my boys caddy at a South Suburban Country Club. Today and tomorrow is their big member tournament. With all the rain, no carts, everybody's walking, so it's 27 holes.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that's a lot.
A friend of my son, Max, is a caddy, and he goes, oh, I'm caddying, and he like normally does double bags. And I'd be like, you don't look so good. I would call in sick. I mean, it really is.
You got to be very careful.
You know what? I watched last night on Channel 9. They did a story, and for those of us that lived around here in 1995, when that heat wave came in, 700 people died in Chicago. I mean, this is not, you know.
Nothing to mess with.
And I know that, you know, the media loves to, oh, my God, it's going to be. But even walking out this morning so early, get in the car, and even you, Steve, before me, you felt it. It's thick outside right now. It's difficult to breathe. It's only going to get hotter. If you're fortunate enough to have AC, stay inside. And you know, you hear this all the time, but if you know people in your neighborhood, even if you just sort of know them and they're older, that's
check
on them, because this is really the part where you can really be a useful neighbor to help people out.
And we had Nest and Echo Bee thermostat questions. Check your paperwork that came with it. Look for FAQs, frequently asked questions online. I'll help you walk through how to turn your fan on.
Yep.
Thank you, buddy.
See you.
That's Lou Manfredini. Heat cramps, headache, dizziness, nausea, heat exhaustion, sweating, dizziness, fainting, heat stroke, sweating, spasms, and pain. That's an order of severity from dangerous to really dangerous, and we'll remind you of those when we come back in a bit here. Also, got to take a break for the news. We'll do that right now. When we come back, Coach Fitz will be here after the news on Big Ten Media Day 2 on 720 WGN.
The Wildcats with a comeback to remember. Down 20-3 at halftime and outscoring Utah 28-0 after that. And for the first time, the Northwestern Wildcats have won back-to-back-to-back bowl games.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Thanks. Have a great rest of the day. Go Cats.
So I'm standing at O'Hare yesterday with the other 4 million people who couldn't get on an airplane. They said, listen, we can get you out, but it's going to be late. I said, nah, I'd rather hang out with Coach Fitz. Unless I'm getting up, I'm going to work. it's Big Ten Media Day 2, and the head football coach at Northwestern University, a legend. And you know, he's only 24 years old. I mean, that's what's amazing to me. Coach Fitz is here, and look what he brought you, Dave, because this won't fit me. That's a Northwestern helmet. Now, here's the scary thing. They think they're taking this with them. They thought this was just coming in for video.
It's a prop.
Yeah. Have you ever had one of these on?
Yes.
Put it on. Come on, put this on.
No,
I want people
I can't.
To see. Come on,
no,
put it on.
It's way too good to ask him to put that helmet on.
Well, let's bring one. You know what? Let's bring Michael in here to put it on.
Yeah.
Michael, come on here, Michael. Michael, did you play football in high school?
Yeah.
Okay, then you know what to do. I don't want to have to give you helmet instructions. By the way, I asked Coach Fitz if they have one in my size. He said we got to send out for extra helmet.
That's right.
So, yeah, put that on. You know what? Kid looks like a recruit.
Like a glove.
Right?
Like a glove.
Make sure we can see on the stream over there. Let's get some pictures of you. I don't want this to end up being like a... who's the guy that ran in 88, the former governor of Massachusetts, put the war helmet on? Dukakis. Michael Dukakis. Remember the Michael Dukakis shot with a helmet? Michael, you're never going to live this down. Now, take that off. Take that off before you actually get recruited. Good Lord. Coach, how are you?
It didn't impact Michael's hair at all. It looks a little better, actually. Right now. I'm walking out.
How are you, man?
Great. It's that time of the year. Let's go.
This is like the on-ramp, right? Once today hits, it's super fast. I know it never ends, but, I mean, isn't this where it speeds up?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we're full go on Wednesday. This is a little bit earlier. For the media days and typical, maybe about a week. But, yeah, it's if you were to ask Stacey, it's time to go.
It's time for me to leave the house.
Well, it is. I mean, it's so early. And, I mean, the season starts earlier. The season goes later. Yeah. You have a couple of bye weeks during the course of that time. But still, this is... From a mental standpoint, to try to keep guys fresh over such a long period of time, does that become more of a challenge?
Yeah, it will be. It'll be something that we'll talk about. You know, but we lived it a little bit last year playing the Big Ten Championship, mm-hmm. which is kind of the goal every year. So
yeah, you'll take that.
We'd like to continue to have to really manage the team in November. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the guys did a great job. But, yeah, as we look forward to this year, going to kind of be a unique start, right? We go on the road, play a great opponent in Stanford, and we got a bye. Right, and then about 4 weeks later, we got another bye. So it's a little bit more front-loaded than I would like, but you know, we didn't know what the Big Ten schedule would be. We felt like when we scheduled the Stanford game, having a bye after it would be the right thing without being in school. So, you know, we'll make it work, and obviously coming off the second bye, we got a huge game at Ryan Field against the Buckeyes. So fun start, to say the least.
Reigning Big Ten Coach of the Year, Dave. Yes. And by the way, Dave ended
it was raining yesterday.
Yeah. It rained a lot yesterday. Yeah. That's why I'm here. As Big Ten Coach of the Year and coaching the Big Ten West champs, we haven't lost a West Division game since September 2017. My friend Dave Ennett's going to be in the Dave Ennett broadcast booth soon enough, calling every single play. And it's been a ton of fun for us as your partners in this, because as you've built this program into a national powerhouse, and Coach Collins is in the process of doing the same for basketball, we've been the big mouth for you guys. It's been fun.
Well, you guys have built it yourselves into a powerhouse.
No, again, we just get the word out.
Again, this view just does not get old, does it?
No, it really doesn't. All right, so talk to me about the kids that we're going to be excited about and maybe the guys that anchor the team, juniors and seniors.
Well, we've got three that are here with us at Media Day, and, you know, I think it starts with that group. You know, offensively, Jared Thomas, our center, is a young man that he's special. You know, he's eventually going to either be, you know, sitting in here with you guys, you know, on the stage of BTN or ESPN. He's a really talented young person from Cathedral High School in Indianapolis. And, you know, I thought when he really raised his level of play last year, not necessarily from an on-the-field standpoint, but from his leadership, you know, our offensive line really started to gel, and then we got on that run. And, you know, he's back for a senior year. You know, Patty Fisher at linebacker is a young man that, you know, as I look at our young players, and he's still only going to be a junior, a guy that I think a lot of our fans feel like has been around forever. But, again, a young man that has had a great start to his career.
Texas tough, too, right?
Katy. Yeah, he's from Katy, Texas, and, you know, powerhouse program. And then Joe Gaziano. You know, the pride of Zavarian Brothers out in I think it's, do I say this right, Paul? Situate.
Dukakis.
Yeah, here we go. Boston, you know.
Situate. It's wicked hot there,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, it is. You like apples? But at any rate, you know, Gaz is a returning sack leader in college football that nobody's talking about. So, and he's got, you know, NFL aspirations written all over him. So, you know, those three guys are here for a reason with us for the day. And you know, there's no doubt we're going to go where those three guys take us.
You're filling out a starting lineup. Defensively, do you at middle linebacker, do you put yourself in there, or you put Patty Fisher?
Let's see how his career ends up, right? I mean, we got chapters left to write.
Do you have any eligibility left?
I don't think I would put myself in that conversation. I mean, we've had some pretty special ones in Anthony and Timmy McGargle, and the list goes on and on. You know, my goodness, of great linebackers. I was reminiscing with some of my teammates, and you know, Barry Gardner was an unbelievable middle linebacker for us. So, no, I don't think, I mean, I'm, You could say my name, but there's no way if you really look at the production, I should be there.
Well, you can be modest all you want, but we know how good it's been and what a run it's been from player to coach to this. You can get your tickets, by the way, at 888-GO-PURPLE or NUSports.com. It's a great schedule. And I know you're excited. Dave's practicing calling the games in the hallway. Either that or he started to talk to himself. I'm not sure which.
It's a little of both.
And it's going to be fun. Who's going to be fighting for quarterback?
I'm shocked that wasn't the first question.
I'm a better man than that.
He was going to be the next.
Who do you think you're talking to?
Yeah, you know, usually you give me the softballs on Friday morning. No. It's one of two things. I'm either mad at the world, hungover, or getting yelled at by my wife.
I just feel like I'm your punching bag on a Friday.
Well, you're getting the bang. You're getting the reaction. Sorry. I got to get you before I get the players.
I get it. I totally get it. I'm happy to take one for the team.
Yeah, we got another quarterback opportunity. And it seems like yesterday I was having this conversation, wasn't sure, and 4 years later, Clayton Thorson's the all-time winningest quarterback in program history and, you know, leads us to a Big Ten West championship. So it'll play itself out. It always does. And what I like about the group is, you know, as we went through spring, the entire group of quarterbacks, I thought all improved. I thought they've had a great summer leading. And, you know, we'll kind of see how things play out.
Feels like a dead heat?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I would say coming out of spring, yeah. But you then move forward and you get into workouts. And the guys will get you know, plenty of reps the first 2 weeks of camp, and then we'll probably make a decision and narrow things down, and then we'll let you guys know probably Friday morning. How does this sound before?
Are you kidding? You'll let me know after kickoff.
How about I remember last year at Purdue where there was uncertainty about whether Clayton was going to start because he was coming off the knee injury and whether it was going to be him or TJ Green.
Right.
And even on our pregame show, you wouldn't say on the record who the quarterback was going to be.
Yeah, but I told you when we were off the record.
Well, off the record.
Yeah,
but
I mean, so.
Going to get you with the CIA, Mr. Secret Keeper.
No, but, you know, there's very few things I get to keep secret.
That's a good point.
Yeah, I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean, so, yeah, we're going to enjoy it and have fun with it. And you know what? More importantly, taking a little bit of pressure off the guys. Mm-hmm. You know, let them just go out and practice and play and get better. Whoever earns the role is going to earn it. And, you know, we've been through this now. Mick McCall, our great quarterback coach and offensive coordinator, a number of times. And as we've kind of gone through this process, I think we've got a pretty good idea how to do it.
We're going to fast run out of time here, Dave.
Just a quick snapshot on Hunter Johnson, because he's the new guy in this mix here. What can fans expect who didn't see him play during his time at Clemson?
Yeah, well, you know, if you go back to his little snapshot at Clemson, you see a really athletic, very arm talented guy. What you can't see is just who he is as a person. He's very similar in makeup, personality wise, to Clayton from a standpoint of devout in his faith. Great family, just an unbelievable young man from Brownsburg, suburb of Indianapolis, and I think a young man that has incredible leadership skills. But he's got it's a double-edged sword. He's got a ton of humility. But, you know, like Clayton and the rest of the quarterbacks we've coached, at a certain point that humility now needs to come with a little bit of swag, because everybody's got to follow your lead. And that's what I've kind of seen as the year has gone on, is him getting more comfortable with his teammates, more comfortable with the program. And you know, it's going to be fun to watch him and TJ and the rest of the guys compete.
That's an interesting point. Is it part of your regular duties that there are guys who come along that you have to coach appropriate cockiness, appropriate ego?
Yeah, you know, I think you just got to get out of your comfort zone. And we recruit so many great young people that, you know, are from unbelievable families, and humility is the backbone of their family.
Right.
And then you get to the collegiate level, it's like, no, man, this is Top Gun. This is the best of the best.
Right.
You know, you're not Iceman or Maverick, but we need you somewhere in between.
Sure.
You know, and so, again, as I look back at the quarterbacks we've had, this has kind of been a reoccurring theme, you know, and TJ's very, very similar, where, you know, you're not going to get a guy that says, look at me, pound his chest, be all over social media. It's the other way around. They're more concerned with being great teammates, and both those guys are terrific.
I look forward to you pounding on me Friday mornings this fall.
Well, I'm getting my creative juices going. I'm doing a lot of research right now.
I feel like you're
running out of content.
I feel like you get game ready in part. So, you know, it's a small part of my contribution. Tickets on sale again now, 888-GO-PURPLE or NUSports.com. Couple of notes, Dave. I don't know if you know this.
Yes.
The Cats go back to Wrigley Field next November against Wisconsin, so that'll be fun. But let's focus on winning it all this year. And don't forget, Northwestern hosts a Randy Walker Memorial 5K Sunday, July 28th. Still time to register there at NUSports.com.
Great event.
Amazing event.
Great to see you, Coach.
It is great to be here. Let's stay cool, Chicagoland, and before you know it, it'll be football season, and let's fill up Ryan Field. We appreciate you guys and are fired up to be Chicago's Big Ten team.
That's six weeks from tomorrow.
But who's counting, right?
Yeah.
All right, guys.
Let me just throw this in. Go Cats.
Go Cats is right. Go Cats. And go Sox.
Go Cats, go Sox.
Look at that.
Would you, if you want a few more, we got a bunch of those posters.
Yeah, you know, I might go.
And they're all in the same colorful black and white. There you go. That's the coach, Coach Fitz, and we're back in a moment. Remember Carlo Rizzi from The Godfather?
Yes.
Gianni Russo joins us in just a few minutes. The man who played Carlo. Stand by. Hawks convention passes next hour as well as the Steve Cochran Show continues, and I'll explain why I'm here and not at my high school reunion, which will happen tonight without me. The news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.
The Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
But if you're a grown man in America, you don't love The Godfather, then we're going to have a talk. Standing by at the Channel 9 studios is Gianni Russo. Gianni Russo, my friend. Gianni Russo had some of the most crucial scenes in The Godfather, but what a life he's led. Hollywood Godfather, my life in the movies and the mob. Gianni joins us now. It is a pleasure to have you on the show, sir.
Thank you, my man. I really appreciate it.
He's still a good-looking dude for an old guy.
Well, get glasses checked, man. I'm an old man.
What a life. What a life. You know, everybody goes, oh, he's Carlo. How great is that? Carlo is just part of the story.
Yeah, fortunately. I mean, I've had 76 magical years, 47 films, 6 Grammys for music, and in 9 Oscar-winning films, and about to do another one, which is interesting.
What's the next one?
We have 3 major studios are buying my book.
Well, that makes sense.
My book.
Makes sense.
And, I think I have Leonardo DiCaprio playing me, which is important.
That's not so bad, right?
No, it's perfect. Perfect.
Are you going to be in the movie, I hope?
They're asking me to. I really don't want to be because, you know, it's a story by, it's about me. We'll see what happens. You know, I want to sell food, though. I'm here to sell food. Let them have.
Now we'll get to your food. Relax.
Tomato sauce.
Don't you get people after me. let me tell you a couple stories about our friend here, Gianni. And by the way, our boss, Larry Word, who I know is a pal of yours, thank God he's finally you know, cleared all of his indictments. So good for Larry. Good for Larry.
I didn't know he had indictments.
No, I'm kidding. Okay. I'm just trying to create a meeting. Hollywood Godfather, my life in the movies and the mob, Gianni Russo. All right, so here's the deal. Marlon Brando is the only acting coach you ever had. And Brando, everything I know about you, Brando loved you.
No, Brando did. You know, it's funny. Marlon Brando was my only acting coach. Frank Sinatra was my only singing teacher. And Marilyn Monroe made me a man.
So, wow.
How do you like those 3 recommendations?
That's not a bad day. What was Brando like on that set?
Brando, you know, on that set, because he wanted the film so bad, because his career was a little, you know, shaky.
He's in a weird phase.
Yeah, and but him and I hit it off, and he liked the idea that I really knew a lot of these people. In fact, I introduced him to John Gotti.
Is that right?
They wanted to meet each other. I can't believe it. John wanted to meet him, and Brando said, I know you know Gotti. Can I meet him? So I played him one against the other, and I got 2 big favors out of them. I put them together one night during Monday Night Football, and we were shooting on Mulberry Street, and everybody was saying, you got to get him out of there. I said, they were in the Ravenite watching Monday Night Football. I said, you get him out of there.
He's having a time of his life. Plus, you're going to go tell Mr. Gotti or Mr. Costello back in the day? Yeah, I want to break up your meeting.
Yeah, hello, yeah.
Now, the Sinatra piece is fascinating to me as well, because if you know Frank Sinatra's history, you know he lost his mom in a tragic way.
Oh, my. I was there that night.
Yeah, you were there. This part of the book, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so you're there. Sinatra doesn't know. He does a show. He asks the crowd to pray for his mom, and you know that after the show, he's going to find out his mom is gone.
Yeah. You know what's so ironic? Dean Martin's son hit the same mountain.
Oh, is that right? I didn't know that.
Yeah, the same mountain.
Yeah.
I'm a bunch of Hollywood trivia. People don't know things I do.
So when Sinatra, did you know you could sing before you worked with Sinatra?
Every Italian thinks they could sing.
Right, right, right.
Make love. You know that. but I wanted to do it right.
Well, look, it's all laid out in the book. The good, the bad, and the troubling. And let me tell you something. I see your life as so inspirational. From where you came to where you are, and the message for your kids and your grandkids to dream big, and you mean it in every sense of the word. So I hope people get the book. But now I want to talk about your food. What are you selling?
What happened is knowing the Godfather, and after four generations, all the children watch it, nobody had the IP for all the food products.
Come on.
It's amazing to me. The Genco olive oil, the tomato sauce. So I went partners with Greco and Son here in Illinois because I did my research, and they're the best distributors and importers in the United States that I know. And we own it. So we're out here promoting it to different markets. We're in 7 states right now. Going to 1,700 stores, and you're going to think your grandmother made the sauce. We own Genco olive oil, the same can that was in the movie, and I'm here today actually be at the Niles store, Tony's Fresh Market, in Niles today from 3 to 7 o'clock tonight, and tomorrow I'm in Prospect Heights from 11 to 3 in the afternoon. And if you want to come by, I'll sign pictures, we'll take pictures, we'll taste the sauce. You're not going to believe how good this sauce is, though.
Listen, I don't doubt it for a minute. And when you walk into Tony's, what are we looking for? The Genco label?
No, you're going to look for me. You're going to find the olive oil bottle about 8 feet tall. Look for that. And
okay.
I'm standing right under it.
And you said tons and tons of stores around the country wherever people are listening this morning.
Yep. Thank God. We're moving it. And again, thanks for Greco and their network. And then Sunday, I want to invite all your listeners. I'm out at Rockford.
Okay.
Solo Italiano. It's a big festa. And they call me. Benny called me. I said, I'll come. So I'll be there all day.
How great is that?
Sinatra tunes. We're signing books. So I'll be here all weekend. So make sure you take your wives and daughters off the streets. I'm feeling crazy.
Gianni's in town. Somebody could have a problem.
Yeah.
There's some great laughs in the book. The stories are just amazing. I don't know if you ever stop and pinch yourself, but one of the things that jumps out of the book, and I want people to get the food, and I want people to get the sauce. You know, it'll be a great night. A great plate of pasta with the Gianni sauce, or with the Genco sauce, and reading a book. That's a great night. That's a great romantic dinner. Nice bottle of wine, don't you think?
Well, we're promoting that, man. That's going to be great. And we, you know, that's the whole thing. We're going to start hosting Godfather binge parties, and they have to be eating our food. And you never know. I may ring the doorbell and show up.
I love that. Hey, before I let you go, there's a point that you make in the book that I'm sure it was intended, but I want to make sure people get it. And that's a point about honor and where honor, what honor meant when you were a kid or I was a kid, and maybe what's gone today. Why is the basic honor of a man's word not what it used to be?
I don't know, man. It's so crazy because when you think about it, I was taught many years ago, you shake a man's hand, look him in the eye, and tell him the truth. And, you know, that's one thing that attracted me to the Grecos. This family of four generations, they're all about respect, father, the grandfather. I sit with them. I feel like I'm part of their family. But like you're pointing out, I think what's missing in our society today is respect and your word. Give your word and mean it, man. Shake your hand. I don't care how sophisticated your lawyers are. Give your word and do what you say you're going to do.
And also, if you're a kid or a grandkid, look your elders in the eye when you talk to them. You know,
and leave your electronic devices home.
Right.
I don't allow them in my house. My kids come, you can't bring them.
One of the greatest things that I learned as a kid was if I shut up and listen when a bunch of old guys are around talking, I'm going to be a lot smarter.
I'll tell you right now, I attribute anything I know by listening.
Amen, man. Amen. It's an honor to have you on the show. It really is.
No, thank you all. Please, I really appreciate it.
I hope everybody gets out to see you in Rockford as well. But get the book, get the food, and
come to Tony's today.
Tony's where again today?
In Niles, and then tomorrow I'm in Prospect Heights. And just come by, man. We'll hang out, take some pictures.
It'll be great.
We'll try some good sauce.
And I'm not surprised.
I got it heated right now on hot plates.
Well, then I'll be over before the show's over.
All right, please. Thank you.
Hey, by the way, I'm not surprised you're friends with our boss, Larry. A couple of good guys. I'd like to sit around listening to you two, for that matter.
Hello.
Thank you, Johnny.
Thank you.
Chiller. How about that guy? Oh, by the way, I didn't tell you another story from the book because I don't want to give the whole thing away. But he's in Vegas at a club he owns. Fight breaks out. Guy's roughing up a woman. Gianni steps in. The guy happens to be a thug from the Medellin cartel. Busts a bottle across Gianni's face. Now, Gianni's packing. He's carrying. Shoots the guy. Kills him. It's a real justifiable homicide.
Wow.
Self-defense. That guy was Pablo Escobar's guy. Pablo Escobar puts a hit out on Gianni Russo. Gianni Russo then realizes that Escobar could kill him at any time. You know why the hit went away? Escobar realized Gianni Russo was from the movie. The Godfather was his favorite movie, and he canceled the hit.
Is that right?
Isn't that a great story?
That's unbelievable.
It's all in the book. Nine. Where did I get nine? 7:24.
Wishful thinking.
No, I'm glad to be here. You know, this mixed emotions kind of thing. I will not be at my reunion tonight if you're going.
Could they Skype it to you?
You know, it's funny. As I said to Maureen, I said, maybe you call, you FaceTime me. She goes, yeah, I don't see that happening. At 7:24, we'll come back and we'll do the MVPP.
The Steve Cochran Show presents the most valuable person on the planet. The MVPP is sponsored by MegaPros. They make it fun to get stuff done.
And now it's time to move on to a little something we call
the most valuable person on the planet.
Annie McAvini's founder for Fill a Heart for Kids. It's a charity that helps local unaccompanied homeless youth and foster kids in the Chicagoland area by equipping them with necessities and experiences, school supplies, summer break essentials, holiday stuff, birthday stuff. FillAHeartForKids.org. Don't forget the number four. FillAHeartForKids.org. Annie is the most valuable person on the planet. Thank you for what you're doing. Good morning.
Well, thank you for that lovely introduction. How are you?
Well, we're great, and you're great for doing all this. Tell everybody what a survival backpack scavenger hunt is.
Oh, it's a pretty amazing program that we have where corporations, schools sign up to participate in this exercise on what it's like for a homeless youth to survive. They go out on a scavenger hunt. They have to be able to find water in a cup. They have to be able to find free clothing. They have to be able to purchase food on a $5 budget that lasts homeless youth 1 week. And the reason why I say $5, that's an extravagant amount of money for an unaccompanied homeless youth.
And that way you get a real sense, as much as anybody can, without actually living that life, of how tough it is.
Actually, it really is. People don't understand. If you think about it, in the wintertime, when all the spigots are turned off outside, where does a homeless youth get food? Where does a homeless youth get water? There's not enough sites for homeless kids to go shower, bathe, get supplies that they need, tools to help them survive. So we began this powerful exercise, and it's amazing. When people participate in our scavenger hunt, they're so moved and touched, and they want to do more.
By the way, we know in Illinois that we have an awful lot of work to do, an awful lot of work to do. My son's a big part of a charity called Let It Be Us, which promotes foster care to adoption. And
we love them.
Yeah, I'm glad you work with them. And foster care, as you know better than anybody, we got to get better at it. We got to get more generous with it. And if you at all are interested in helping out foster kids or becoming a foster parent, organizations like Fill a Heart for Kids and Let It Be Us, they work seamlessly to try to get all that done. So before I let you go there, MVPP, Project Smart's the focus right now, right?
Project Smart is our focus, and I have to say there's another wonderful program that we really love that's going on right now, and it's the Lake Forest Police Department's annual bike rodeo.
Oh, cool.
It is so outstanding. There's about 300 kids attending, and on Saturday, foster children will be attending, and they're getting free bikes.
We're excellent.
LFPD really supports Fill a Heart for Kids, and we are so lucky. During the holiday season, they give us gift cards for our children. The police department gets involved. And another thing that's really important that I want to say is our family began taking in homeless children 13 years ago. Wow. And we did it through a program called Safe Families for Children. On an average day, my phone is ringing all day long. about so many children that need a safe place to sleep at night and support. So that's one of our programs that we work with, and we partner with about 13 different organizations that support foster children. And we also partner with 5 organizations that work directly with unaccompanied homeless youth.
There's a million ways to help when you go to the website, fillaheart4kids.org. And thanks, as you said, to the Lake Forest Police Department, amongst all the people that help you. They certainly deserve a shout-out. Fillaheart4kids.org. Annie, you're the most valuable person on the planet. It's a lot of pressure, but you can deliver.
Thank you so much. Hope you have a wonderful day.
You as well. Thanks for the work you do again. 7:34. We're back with your headlines next. 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
On 720 WGN.
Mac McAnally coming in later. By the way, a surprise guest as well. You're not going to want to miss. At 7, you don't even know, Dave. You don't even know who the surprise guest is.
Surprise to me.
Yeah. Jen, you don't know who the surprise guest is.
No idea.
You're going to think
it's
pretty
cool.
Did you
give us a hint?
Yeah, no. No. There's no way to give a hint on this guy. Because everything I tell you about it, you go, what? That guy?
Well, it's a guy. We know that.
Darn it. You've already got it figured out. So that'll be cool coming up here in a little while. Before we get to any of that, how about some Hawks convention passes? Super Joe, what number caller would you like to give away the convention passes to today?
I'd like to give away the passes to caller number 24.
24! Which is what David Duval got on one of the holes yesterday.
Just about.
24. Caller 24, you get convention passes. We will be there live to open up the festivities next Friday night on the radio. And I hope you'll be there as well. I'm told there's a couple of tickets left. Maybe even a couple of rooms. But, man, if you don't jump on this today, I think you're going to be out of luck.
They are still available while supplies last.
Blackhawks.com. What do we do?
ChicagoBlackhawks.com/convention.
Okay. ChicagoBlackhawks.com/convention.
By the way, they're having something I think you'll like this year. Steve, the Emergency Goalie Challenge. I'll tell you more about that later.
Well, okay. That means I could be in.
Could be.
Yeah. So it's going to be fun. And as I mentioned earlier, Adam Bursch and I will host a variety show after the opening ceremonies with Hawks players and a couple of fans. Maybe one of them could be you, listener. Why not? Well, we get a winner here. I was supposed to be in New York today for my high school reunion. I grew up in upstate New York in a little town called Dryden, New York. It's 45 minutes to an hour. That's an hour. It's an hour south of Syracuse. It's 20 minutes from Ithaca, home to Cornell University. And this little town, Dryden, is where Maureen is there now. She and I both went to the same high school. But she wouldn't agree to fool around with me until after, you know, high school was over.
Of course not.
Oh, I just remembered Ross is listening to the podcast. It's all part of your therapy, son. All right, so here's the deal. I go to O'Hare yesterday, or I leave to go to O'Hare, because I was going to be gone yesterday, today, and the weekend. The reunion is, in fact, tonight, the 40th high school reunion. And I had a great time in high school. I don't know about you. I loved high school. I had a ton of fun. So even though I made a big deal on the air about how I didn't want to go, I got my head in the right place, and I was really looking forward to it. Okay, I was looking forward to it. Really probably is a bit much, but there's a lot of people I was looking forward to seeing. And frankly, who knows if and when I'll see them again. You know?
Yeah.
So I get in a car to go to O'Hare yesterday, right in the middle of that rainstorm. And I get an alert on my phone. Your flight's been canceled. So I run around, do a couple of errands. Now I'm on the phone. I'm online. I'm on the phone. I'm online. I'm talking to American Express, who helped with the trip. And it takes about an hour, and we figure out they can get me on a 3 o'clock flight. So originally, I'm flying to Syracuse, New York at noon. Now I'm flying to Rochester, New York, which is a couple hours away, at 3. I get to the airport. It's beautiful here then. It's like 2:15.
Oh, not a cloud in the sky.
2:30. I'm waiting at the gate. 10 minutes before we board, they cancel the 3 o'clock flight to Rochester. Now it's a mad rush again. Everybody's getting in line. And by the way, O'Hare was bananas yesterday. Because when O'Hare shuts down, the entire country shuts down. Because you can't get planes and pilots and crew into Chicago to turn them around to fly wherever you need to go. I mean, I had people in line with me who were trying to get to Miami. They couldn't get to Miami. Well, Miami had nothing to do with our weather here. But you didn't have the people here to fly the plane to Miami.
Right.
So it was a hot mess all over the place. And then the weather we had started heading northeast. So at 3 o'clock, my flight to Rochester has been canceled. So now they put me on a 7 o'clock flight to Buffalo. By the way, thank you, Diane at American Airlines. Lovely woman. Couldn't have been more helpful. So I go from United to American to three cities, and I'm moving further west. If I had taken one more flight, I would have been leaving from Cleveland. I probably could have kept they kept canceling flights. I would have just left from Chicago again. Would have started over. I'd have flown from Chicago to Chicago. So I finally get on with somebody yesterday afternoon. This is like 5 o'clock when they canceled the 7 o'clock flight. And I said, listen, we're really sorry. The earliest we can get you to New York is midnight tomorrow night. Tonight. This is yesterday, so tonight. Midnight tonight. So that's kind of an issue because the reunion starts at 6 o'clock tonight. So I'm out. That's why I'm here. Can't get to the reunion. I'm here. And honestly, for all the noise I made about not wanting to go to the reunion, I was actually really looking forward to it.
So you're disappointed.
I am disappointed.
Okay, so what about this? What about you go to O'Hare, you get on a flight to New York, like, I don't know, any of the three airports, four airports in New York, mm-hmm. and then rent a car and drive from there.
Couldn't pull it off. New York, LaGuardia, Newark, and Kennedy all had the same problems.
But today?
To Philadelphia as well. Well, today, everybody that was dumped out of their planes yesterday is yep. trying to make up for it today. So they're all on the flights today. Because mm-hmm. they were looking ahead to that today. I even looked at flying to Atlanta, flying from Atlanta to Charlotte, flipping from Charlotte going to Philly, and then Philly renting a car and driving up.
That sounds awful.
Bananas, right?
Yeah.
And here's the weirdest part, and we're going to have Peter Greenberg on to talk about this, because I've never heard of this happen. Post 9/11, haven't we all assumed that if your bag is on the plane, you've got to be on the plane?
Yep.
Okay. That's actually a rule. That has to be the case, right?
All right. I had two bags. One's golf clubs, and what's funny is when I had to put a claim in for these two bags, which I still don't have, by the way, the golf clubs, I could tell you everything was in the bag. My clothes, not so much. But my clothes and that suitcase and my golf clubs. The golf clubs go on the 3 o'clock plane to Rochester. So they're sitting on the tarmac. My clothes suitcase is somewhere in the back. They haven't loaded it yet. And I go to claim the bags, and they said, we can't give them to you. I said, what do you mean you can't give them to me? They said, well, they've been loaded on the plane. I said, yeah, but the plane's not going. And I said, yeah, but we can't give you those. They have to stay on the plane. So they, whenever that plane takes off, they're going to fly to Rochester. And when you get to Rochester, they're going to realize there that you're not there. And then they're going to put them on a plane. They're going to fly them back. They said, you might have them back by Saturday afternoon.
Well, but wait a minute.
There's more. The suitcase with my clothes in it?
Yeah.
That's still in Chicago. I said, well, can I have my clothes? They said, no, since the two bags were ticketed together, this is my favorite, for security purposes, we can't give you one back unless we have the other. So I had to put a claim in for the bag that's O'Hare. My golf clubs are now sometime today going to be flown to Rochester, probably tonight, flown to Rochester and then flown back. And I didn't have either one, because here's the rest of the story. I thought, you know what? I'll just drive. It's 12 hours. I've done it before. Right. I'll drive half of it tonight. I'll get up in the morning. I'll drive the other half. Well, I would have had to go home to repack a brand new suitcase to get clothes, to come back, to get in the car and drive, which meant I wouldn't have been on the road until probably 9 o'clock last night. And by the time I got up today, I'd have to drive 8 or 9 hours more. It just became not worth it.
Am I the only person on this show that thinks you're not getting those golf clubs back?
I don't think I'm getting either bag back.
Oh, I think you're getting them back.
I don't know.
I remember when you and I went to spring training. My golf clubs didn't make it.
That's right.
But I got them at like 1:30 in the morning.
They were flown to Rochester.
They were with your golf club.
So here's the three types of people you always see when the airport shuts down. You see the it's your fault and I'm going to yell at you people. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. And by the way, yelling at people who are doing the ticketing in the middle of weather, nothing comes out of that. Zero.
Don't do that.
Yeah, stop it. Then you have the, I'm going to charm you, the guy that gives you $20 to get a table at a restaurant when he doesn't have a reservation or he's waited long enough for $50 or $100 or whatever. The come on, you can help me out, wink, wink guy. They're not doing that either. They have rules and they have to follow the rules. And then the third one is families who just yell at each other. Everybody's stressed out. Everybody's tired. They're not going to yell at the airplane people, but they're going to yell at the at their own family. And you're going to yell at the kids. You're going to yell at your wife. Your wife's going to yell at your husband. None of that helps. No. Weather is weather. and you just got to suck it up. Now, the baggage guy, I said to the baggage guy, I said, dude, I'm not mad at you, but this is crazy. I said, I know this isn't your fault. He goes, yeah, I've never heard of this.
Okay.
Well,
and, all right. And he's in the business.
Well, in the middle of trying to figure out where everybody at O'Hare was trying to get or going yesterday and the rest of the dominoes that fell around the country, it's understandable. But I'm sorry I'm not going to be there tonight, because imagine the stories I could have told on Monday. Because, you know, when you go to a reunion, here's the thing. You go to your 10-year reunion, hey, what are you up to? You go to your 25 reunion, you have kids? How are your kids? I'm thinking you go to your 40th reunion, maybe you get, well, you've held up well.
You're still alive.
I told you I went to my wife's 40th a couple years ago.
Right?
I didn't go to mine, but I went to hers. And, yeah, there was, I think there was a lot of that.
Anyway, I feel for the people at O'Hare. I feel for the people at Midway. I feel for you if you're still stuck in the middle of it. But it's going to take at least today to clear up the mess that was yesterday.
Steve, I don't know. Everybody else is not telling you that we had a big party planned for today. The substitute teacher was going to bring in cupcakes.
I texted you guys last night, said I was coming in. And all I could hear in the text that was never sent was, wah, wah, wah. Anyway.
Jenna, I believe I texted you back and said, sorry.
Yeah, but we're past.
Yeah, okay.
It's Jen. Jen and Steve, they're the ones that were starting the trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I was kind of sitting in the main studio.
Yeah, taking over
balloons and stuff. Yeah. Then you came back, and I was like, back to the traffic booth.
It's not what I said. That's ridiculous. So you could come in here anytime and run the show. All right, it's 7:55. Thank you for listening to this every day. We appreciate it very much. I know I do. All right, because here's the thing. If you get a trip that's canceled, think about the job I had to come back to today. Is it a job? It's just me having a time of my life. That's how blessed I am. A lot of people would have went, I got to go back to make the shower curtain rings today. That's not me. I get to come in here and shoot my mouth off for 4 hours. I get to hang out with a special guest coming up in a little while. Well, you're not going to believe. You know, Coach Fitz is in here earlier. I got nothing to complain about.
But you do have to make some shower rings.
I do have to do that, yes. And I'm sure I'll find something to complain about next week. Dean and Moron Entertainment coming up here in just a few minutes, and then Mac McAnally and the previously hyped special guest coming up after 9:30. Judith Helfand is the producer, director of Cooked, the story of the 1995 heat wave, and we'll talk about that. It couldn't be more timely with the dangerous heat coming in the next couple of days. Steve has information on all of the heat issues in the news, and that's next in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world,
some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, honey, you know I love you more than
Moron Entertainment, a special edition of Moron Entertainment, including me, because I wasn't going to be here today.
Where were you going to be?
I was going to be in New York for my high school reunion.
Oh, that's right.
And I was at O'Hare yesterday all day, and my flights got canceled again and again and again and again. And then they decided that my luggage was already on one of the canceled planes, and they wouldn't give it back to me.
No, that's not good.
So I had no pants. And you can't go to a reunion without pants.
Do you have pants now?
You know what's funny is I made enough noise about it that people are texting in this morning going, well, I guess you got your way, didn't you, mister? Now you're not going. Now, I actually, you know, I had grown up momentarily, and I was looking forward to going, so I'm disappointed.
You can still go.
No, can't go. Can't go.
Why?
I got no pants. And in addition to that,
they sell pants in New York, you know.
I had no luggage. My luggage and my golf clubs were locked up on the plane. I was even going to drive last night.
Mm.
But people are nice enough to text today. They say there's flights going to New York today. Listen, I've done the work. I appreciate your help. But the reunion's going to have to go on without me. And I will just send pictures of just random old people and say that's me.
Now, this is upstate New York, right?
Mm-hmm. The real New York, the one that matters.
The real New York.
So, you know, I really should never leave Chicago anyway. You know, I mean, we have a responsibility here as co-morons for Moron Entertainment.
I am actually surprised that you make it all the way downtown every day.
Well, not without going to the wrong places.
From East St. Louis.
It's quite a commute.
I know. It's a long drive.
Anyway, I'm glad I'm here. It's more on entertainment.
Hey, you know what? I enjoyed your chat with Gianni Russo.
Oh, gotta love that guy.
He's Carlo from The Godfather.
Yeah.
Carlo Rizzi?
Carlo Rizzi. Carlo Rizzi.
From The Godfather. He's the guy that Branzini takes out in the car.
Mm-hmm.
He gets in the mistreats Michael Corleone's sister. He rats on Branzini and then gets in the car. He's just supposed to be taken away, and he gets in the car, and Clemenza takes the wire.
Gets the old piano wire treatment.
Oh, my gosh. It's one of the greatest scenes.
Great way to go, by the way.
It's a classic. But this guy has got a million fantastic real stories of his life. Related to the movie, not related to the movie.
The fact that Pablo Escobar called off a hit on his life because Pablo Escobar found out he was in The Godfather and he loved the movie.
Yeah,
that story is unbelievable.
But he told me in his the way that he talks.
Yeah, of course.
Just, he's telling me the story about Escobar and peppering it with language I can't use here on the radio. And he's telling me stories like, oh my gosh, this is fantastic, about Marilyn Monroe, 16 years old, and he was assigned by somebody to go keep Marilyn Monroe company. 16 years old, and he winds up in a bathtub with Marilyn Monroe.
Yeah.
I'm 16 years old. I'm in a bathtub with Marilyn Monroe.
Well, somebody had to do her hair. he's a good-looking dude, too, man. He's 75-ish, I would guess.
That's what he told me, yeah. A super nice guy. And he's got a line of food products out now, Don Corleone food products. Then he's going to be doing some Q&A at the Tony's Fresh Market stores in Niles today and Prospect Heights tomorrow. And then he's doing an appearance at an Italian festival in Rockford on Sunday. The book
came out this spring is tremendous.
Yeah, that's where all the stories are. Get that book, but your interview was so great with him.
Well, thank you, man. Yeah. Appreciate that. Somebody just said, and this relates to you from the 219, why don't you call Billy Joel, see if he can go to your reunion for you?
There you go. He's in New York. He's not far.
Come on. You could drive up from the city.
Yeah, you want me to get Billy Joel? I'll get Billy Joel. No problem.
Hey, Mac McAnally's coming in here in a little bit. Jimmy Buffett's whole crew is in town to do a show tomorrow night.
By the way, sold out, by the way. They just announced that the shows are both sold out.
And Mac's great. I'm sure you've talked to him as well. And, I'm looking forward to talking to him coming up here in just a little bit. And we have a special guest, too. So stand by for that. Somebody's asking, too, about your Ravinia Ghostbusters appearance, asking, will you be slimed?
Not as far as I know, but you never know what happens.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you what I am going to be doing. This is Sunday night after the heat wave breaks,
mm-hmm.
So it's going to be nice outside. At Ravinia, we're showing Ghostbusters up on the big screens. The Chicago Symphony Orchestra will play the score live. I will do my famous pre-show discussion about the movie about a half an hour before the movie starts, but also the folks out at the Murray Brothers Caddyshack restaurant in Rosemont,
mm-hmm.
they heard about all this, and they said, hey, you want me to get you a Ghostbusters poster autographed by Bill Murray? And I said, yeah, let me think about that. Yes. And so they sent over this poster, and I'm going to give away this beautifully framed autographed Ghostbusters poster that Bill Murray himself signed. So I'm going to give that away. This is all Sunday night out at Ravinia.
Hope you don't get any slime on that.
No, that's going to stay slime free.
We'll come back and we're going to talk about the movies for the weekend and Comic-Con as well. Stand by.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
What you're listening to is the only song that Mac hasn't written. That's from The Lion King. Mac McAnally coming up in a second. More on entertainment. Back to Dean. Hey, buddy.
This was my favorite part of the big block party that we did last week. We played this music, and Steve lifted me up to the sky.
That's exactly right. That's exactly, and people were so impressed. Well, how good is The Lion King?
I think it's very good. It's gotten mixed reviews. I think that Some of the critics are being way overly critical and comparing it. They're judging this movie based on how they feel about the first movie. I think that's tremendously unfair. This movie is, technically, it's mind-blowing how beautiful it's all computer animated, yet it looks 1,000% real. But I think the story is solid. The emotions, the feeling, the humor maybe more than anything else. Seth Rogen and Billy Eichner as the Hakuna Matata guys are.
I was in a band called Hakuna Matata.
Hilarious. I think this movie is very, very strong. I really enjoyed it. It reminds me of when Aladdin opened up a month or so ago, and the critics beat it to death, and people went and saw it, and they loved it. And I think that's going to be the case with this, that when people actually go see this movie, they're going to be very pleased with what they see.
Mac is just saddling up here. Mac, I know you got to work on the guitar and stuff, but lean into that microphone and say hi to the people, because, you know, that voice of yours.
Hey there, everybody. How's it going?
There's no way that's his real
Mac
voice.
Here.
It's not
Mac in the house.
That's his real voice.
I gotta sing next to that every night.
Right?
Yeah.
Mac, why don't you introduce the young man next to you, our special guest that we didn't expect to see today?
Well, I brought a road manager because, you know, because I'm such a diva that I have to have people handle things.
He's got to bring people with him.
In my early Chicago days, I was the road manager.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that.
I did everything. Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen,
security.
Mac McAnally and Jimmy Buffett. How about a cheap round of applause? You guys get the very rare sitting ovation.
I'll take any ovation you give me.
All ovations are good.
So you guys sold out tomorrow night. Congratulations. I think you guys are going to make it in this business if this keeps up.
10 more years. I'm going to give it.
Right, and then you got to do something else. Yeah, whatever your fallback plan is.
What's it like for you guys performing in this ridiculously hot weather? Is it? I mean, are you sort of climate controlled up there? It's got to be very difficult.
This makes Miami look chilly.
Yeah, and listen, I'm from the Gulf Coast. You know, I worked in a shipyard in Mobile, Alabama.
Good point.
The humidity always goes down when we leave home. You know, that's the way it works.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, this is okay.
A couple of Southern boys is nothing.
No, I judge it by looking at the crowd and see when they get worn out.
Well, the great thing of having a full house, I mean, if you lose 10% of them, yeah,
still got a good crowd.
I've never thought of it that way.
Right. I think it's all about the numbers. Dean, the show tomorrow night, I understand you'll be opening?
Oh, hell yes. Yes. I've been, since my success with my fascinating pre-show discussion at Ravinia with West Side Story, now all the shows are asking me to come and talk in an overly analytical, boring film critic sort of way to make the actual performers look better.
Oh, mm-hmm. I get it. Oh, I do. Because yeah. I was listening to that review. That sounds like the review we got for our movie, Beach Bum. Did you review that?
I don't believe I did.
Animated, beautiful.
Yeah.
Snoop Dogg and Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah,
and
Hot Tub.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That's right. I do remember that. You know, oddly, they did not let the critics see that ahead of time.
And that's never a bad sign.
I'm not sure
never
why.
A bad
never
sign.
Ever.
I often think that that they're so proud of the movie they don't want to seem to be bragging.
Right. That's exactly right.
Well, see, I also there's another movie we did called Hoot, and then we still hold the record for the lowest amount of people seeing it in 3,000 theaters or more.
So we hold that record. The worst opening weekend box office.
It's called Hoot. It killed it on video.
Well, congratulations, because it's great that you guys win and lose.
Yeah.
Well, it's record-setting either way. I got to brag on him, though, for a second. We played last night in Cincinnati to Jimmy's millionth ticket buyer. Just at Riverbend. At Riverbend, Cincinnati. A million seats.
Dude, no one on the show has ever gotten a double sitting ovation.
Whoa. It's kind of shocked to me, too, but, you know, that's kind of where the Parrothead thing started, even before up here, you know.
In Cincy?
Cincinnati, yeah. That's where it was named. That's where Timothy Schmidt, you know, the Eagles bass player.
Sure, Timothy B.
He was in the minor leagues and playing in our band at the time. And we weren't at that level enough to be able to go into the Riverbend, which that's what the symphony had that.
Sure, of course. Can't let the riffraff in.
Yeah, we played a place called Kings Island, which was an amusement park, which was better suited for us. But he looked out and he said, God, they look like deadheads with credit cards. They're like parrot heads. That's right.
Done.
That's where we got it.
Done.
Yeah.
How about that?
So it's been But it's amazing. I thought, but I remember Jimmy Niedlander said once, it's one who hasn't won many awards. He said, you know, the awards I like to get are the ones from the Chase Manhattan.
They're green and they're spendable.
Yes. Right.
Dead That's presidents it. On them. You going to make it to any Cubs games this weekend?
I wanted to go today, but since I, you know, to go to 35,000 people tomorrow night, I'm a pitcher that has to take a day off. And I'd go if it was a night game, but it's at 120, and you know it's going to be hot. You know, it was hot last night.
Now, this is interesting, because I think everybody thinks Jimmy Buffett and Mac McAnally, they just get up and do it. But there's a little thought process goes into this, a little preparation.
There's a little, yes.
Has it changed over the years?
Yeah, as you become a septuagenarian, it changes. Yes. No, but, yeah, you have to stay in shape.
Well, you guys look great. Are you kidding?
Thanks. Yeah, you got to, really. I mean, it's true.
How long do you play now?
2 hours and 20 minutes.
Wow. That's tremendous.
Straight, that's a long show.
Straight through. Yeah.
There's very little chance.
No intermission, no.
I know you're Southern boys, but with this heat, there's very little chance both of you will be alive by the end of the show tomorrow. You know, I just want to tell the audience
Alpine
now.
Alpine Valley will be the test. But
if that's the case, we're going to die happy.
Right?
Yeah.
The place where you want to be.
Yeah, I mean, the cheese trees are melting right now before we get there.
The last time that I talked with Jimmy was at the Chicago opening of Escape to Margaret. Readerville, the musical that was here in Chicago, which I loved and was so fun and so refreshing. I heard that's going to be going on tour.
It is. I mean, we had a less than we expected what we wanted run on Broadway, but again, the critics seem to not like what they refer to as jukebox musicals in that fair city, but. We knew that we were going to be okay because that's when we came to Chicago. We did almost 6 months on the road before, and I have been on the road for a few years. It was a good feeling. It was out here. So it's coming out and on a two-year tour, and it starts in Providence, Rhode Island, I think, in late September.
How great is that?
It's a fun. Yeah. It's awesome. Really fun. I mean, you're singing along with every song, but it's really fun and really well put together. This is one of those cases, like I said with Lion King, where the critics ravage something, and then people go to see it, and they love it.
Yeah.
And sometimes you got to listen to the people.
Critics hated the Gettysburg Address.
Yeah,
it got terrible reviews. Absolutely.
Well, I can't wait to see Lion King because I'm an easy ticket to because I just like anything entertaining, and my friend and co-producer Frank Marshall, he's married to Kathleen Kennedy, you know, who runs kind of the Lucasfilm, but they got to see it earlier, and I saw some the trailers of it, and what you said, the reality of the animation is absolutely
amazing.
Incredible.
Yeah,
I can't wait to see it, so I'm going.
Good.
All right, boys, stand by 1 second. We're going to do a little news and come back, and more on entertainment will return on Monday. I'm just thrilled that you're thrilled that I was here instead of at my 40th high school reunion tonight.
I heard about it. You don't want to go to your 40th.
I was going to say, you go to your 40th, people come in and they go, well, still alive.
Yeah.
Well, let's see.
It's not you haven't changed. It's you haven't died. Yeah.
Here's the one. I went to my 10th, and I happened to be in, and I'm not trying to be a bon vivant, but I'd been in France, and I was working on a movie, and I came back, and my sister met me, and we were in Mobile, Alabama at my 10th. 10th was okay because I still knew people, and they kind of still looked like who they were.
Sure.
And then I went back for the 20th. And it was a cash bar in a sleazy place on the causeway. And I went, that's it.
By the time you went to the 20th, didn't they try to make you sing?
Yeah, they did, too. That too. Yeah, but the cash bar was the thing that got me.
Isn't that nice? Isn't that nice? By the way, after you guys tear it up tomorrow night, Mac McAnally, special guest Adam Wakefield at the City Winery. Have you done that yet?
Yeah, this will be my third time.
You believe that on the river? How cool is that?
Then? It's beautiful. Yeah, it's a good setup. River. Yeah, and I got to brag on my buddy here again too because he sold out 35,000 seats tomorrow night, and he's helping me try to sell my last 20 at a 350 seater over here.
Well, he's on Mailboat Records. I'm here as a record promotion.
That's right. He's my record man.
Yeah, what's good to see?
You want some money?
Yeah.
Want some payola here? I got some.
As long as he doesn't turn into your A&R guy, you're going to be just fine.
No, he's not the A&R guy.
Just like the good old days.
We're waiting for a little payola. Stand by. All right, Dino.
All right, have a good weekend, everybody.
Back with the news next.
Thanks, Dean.
720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
On 720 WGN. A little roadside restaurant. We artfully complain. The groovy tells a waitress.
that his chicken died in vain. Most every day goes by according to design. I live this dream, still it seems I have you on my mind. From the bottom of my heart, off the coast of Carolina, after one or two false starts, I believe we found our stride. The walls, they won't come down. We can decorate or climb or find some way to get around, 'cause I'm still on your side.
Look, there's great writing everywhere. Then there's really great writing. Mac, I love the stuff you write. You know that.
This is the two of us.
I know that, but I don't need to tell Jimmy how big a fan I am. I just, every time I see Mac,
well,
I'm his biggest
fan, too, because when I heard him, when I first heard him, I was on a label called Areola America. The guy named Jay Lasker was, he ran ABC Dunhill, then they moved him into the minor leagues.
Yeah, right.
And he said, you got to listen to this kid. He's from somewhere down there where you are.
And,
that's real geography lesson.
Was that a good one? Mississippi in the Wikipedia.
Pick a swamp.
That's what it says.
Now, Jay Lasker was the one. He ran the record company when they were. You'd get paid on albums shipped, and I thought I was doing really well because they were going, man, you shipped 200,000 records, but they were going around in trucks.
And then coming back.
And then coming
just driving
back.
Around.
Then he was demoted, and then he wound up, but he was his first act. But he showed me this kid in overalls, and I listened to the album, and I said, I got to find this guy.
And Mac, he did.
But, Mac, when he met you the first time, where were you?
We first met in Philadelphia. And he was playing. I guess you were playing the Spectrum by then. I played the Bijou opening for Ian Tyson and Sylvia.
But you just happened to be in town the same weekend.
You just happened to be in town the same weekend, and he reached out.
I found him.
Yeah,
I said you need to come with me.
And once you find one like that, you keep it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have to brag on them because where the Bible Belt part of Mississippi that I grew up in, we were educated not to call any attention to yourself. So, ironically, you end up in show business where you're dead in the water if you don't. You know.
And, show business generally does lend itself to keep it to yourself. Don't talk about it, good jar.
Right? Yeah, it's sort of biblical, but thankfully, Jimmy. Well, he had started in Mississippi and succeeded, and I looked up to him, and I'd already worked up a couple of his songs on guitar, and he reached out and said nice things and was really some of the first encouragement that I got that made me feel like I might.
But see, I came from coastal Mississippi, Pascagoula, so we were all Creole swamp people, so we lived by music, and and they only went to church to hear it.
Right. How old were you when you finally bought shoes? Was that a week and 10 days ago? 2 weeks ago?
It's coming up soon.
I have a couple pair. I actually bought a pair yesterday over on Rush Street.
There you go.
I run into people all the time, and whenever you guys come up, they talk about how much fun you look like you're still having after all these years. And anybody that's worked at one job for a long time, generally you don't smile as much as you used to. You look like you're having more fun now than you ever had.
I think it's absolutely true. I mean, who gets to do this to begin with? And then I've had a couple of close calls, so I figure I'm either supposed to be here or I wasn't. So I'm
now, when you say
all.
Close calls, did you ever have one flying?
Yeah, I had a little. I flipped a plane once, and then I fell off a stage. And then what was the other one? Oh, I had several of those.
Yeah. When you can't remember all your brushes with death, you've had a couple.
I did a four heart attack weekend.
Oh, yeah, he did a four heart attack weekend.
You know, we talked about that. Yeah, you've had, didn't you tell me this? You're not sure how many you've actually had.
They decided four, and they sort of chastised me.
But that was just that weekend.
Message, you know. That was one weekend, yeah.
Right. This, you know what you are to me with the heart attacks? Just like an NFL guy, I can't tell you how many concussions he's had.
Well, the McAnally male generally drops dead in the yard at about 60 years old, just kind of out of courtesy. You know, we just don't want to be troubled.
So you're over the number.
Yeah, no, I'm in the bonus round, and that's why I'm happier than I've ever been. It's always been great to get to
he
play.
He beat
music.
Him off.
Yeah,
but no, he called me. He called me, and I said, what's going on here? He said, I had a heart attack. I said, where are you? Why are you talking to me?
Right.
You know, he was in the emergency room. He said, well, I had to call in because I was supposed to call you this morning. We're supposed to do some work. I said, get off the phone.
And are you guys going to play his new song, Angina, tomorrow night?
I hope not. Yeah.
By the way, for details on the show at City Winery, citywinery.com, follow the links there. It's Mac McAnally and Adam Wakefield. You want to play the song first? Do you want to play?
Play the record first.
All right, talk about it.
Yeah. So and we'll collectively talk about it. This Caroline Jones is a girl that I met back in 2012, worked on some recordings with her, and she's super talented and a sweetheart. And through our mutual, Mike Ramos, I met her, and Jimmy did along the way, and she's continued to build her career, and she opened some shows for us last year, and Jimmy came up with this notion. He's like, you know, I want to introduce her to my sort of Gulf culture, and it started with opening shows, and then he said, well, I got an idea for a song, and I'll let you take it.
Because, you know, if you listen to country radio, there's a lot of guys out there that have maybe picked up an idea or two from me.
And, one or two.
Yeah,
you
one
think
or two.
That? You think
one
so? Two, yeah. So I said, why couldn't a girl do it?
Right.
You know, because I came from the International House of Women. I mean, I was the only boy in the house, and my mother was a working class mother that worked for, you know, Secretary Rage, but ran a company. So that's deep in me.
No kidding.
And I thought about it as why it's 80% men and 20% women. And I said, why don't we write one for Caroline is so talented, and she came and Mike had been, he'd been pushing me to take a listen to her, and I thought, yeah, I'm going to do this because the last person that pushed an act on me was my daughter, and she said, Dad, these guys I know in school, they're good, and I listened to them and went, I don't get it. It was Maroon 5. and I said, you know, I'm going to listen from now on.
I remember when you called me and said, pass on that Google stock, that's not going anywhere.
That's one of those things, you know.
Wow, Maroon 5.
Yeah. So when Caroline and I put her on the show as a hurricane benefit in Tallahassee, Florida.
Sure.
And when she opened it's like, you know what it takes to get up there if you've ever done it. And I know that. And I watched her, an act that nobody knew, immediately take an audience. And I went, you know, that's the girl we should get to do this.
I love that you're still looking at new people, man.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah.
It's awesome, man. And we had fun writing a song for her, too.
All right, so what's it called? Play Disc Jockey. What's it called?
It's called Gulf Coast Girl, and I think she makes you believe it.
Here it is, 720 WGN.
Alabama line destined to hang out more in Mobile and Gulf Shores. A very special charts locked in my heart. A place is that I love to be. Cause I'm a Gulf Coast girl, partial to the warm winds and the salty water. Gulf Coast girl, yeah, I got a little mermaid in me. And in the whole wide world,
on the beach in Biloxi.
Get tanner, get thinner, and go home a winner occasionally.
We can surf Boca Chica and Galveston Bay, ride horses on the beach in South Padre.
No, we're not in Kansas. Hola, Puerto Rancis. Do you want to two-step with me? Cause I'm a Gulf Coast girl, partial to the warm winds and the salty water. Riding down from New Orleans.
good as that?
How about another sitting ovation? Come on.
Whoa.
That's great.
That's three.
She sounds fantastic. Now, I don't know who her background vocals were, but those kids, too, they're coming.
You know, we rallied some folks together for this.
Now, is you and?
I'm one. Mr. Buffett is one. Mr. Kenny Chesney's one. And Mr. Lucas Nelson, Willie's son Lucas, jumped in with us. And yeah. we are the Pelicanaires.
The Pelicanaires. And you doing that song on the road?
You know, we're going to work up our version of it now because it's out. You know, it's doing quite well.
As it should.
Yeah. And so, yeah, I mean, Caroline's out. Who's she out with now? Is she out with Zach? She was.
I think it's Zach now.
Zach Brown.
Yeah, she's out with Zach Brown.
She's
definitely doing it. But I thought we're going to do a version and let the Reeferettes do it.
I just wonder what it's like if you're her and you turn around and you see you four singing background for her.
Well, it's the good thing was we, you know, of course, in these days and times, everybody was hell scattered all over the place.
Sure,
but Kenny and I were and Mac were in the booth together, and Lucas,
right?
That's the thing people don't know. Hawaii.
You don't even have to be in the same room anymore.
No, you don't. But it's fun when you can.
But we were, the three of us were, and Kenny was doing an album, and he was kind enough to kind of stop what he was doing and then come in and do that.
We got to take a break. When we come back, I want to talk to you guys too because Mac's going to play for us, but I want to talk to you guys as well about who you guys listen to now.
Okay.
Because I think country music is in great shape. I think country music sounds great. I think the writing's better in country music than ever. But I come from like the Ernest Tubbs. I used to, you know, my dad would play Walking the Floor Over You over and over again till the needle broke. So he'd get on his guitar and his buddy be on the garbage can top doing percussion.
Walking the floor over.
There you go.
Uh-huh.
We'll come back in a bit.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
Here's one you might have heard. I don't know, once or twice possibly.
Nibbling on sponge cake. Watching the sun bake. All of those tourists covered with oil. Strumming my six string on my front porch swing. Smell those shrimp there again and a bar.
Jimmy's putting himself through school, so for anybody that's been to Margaritaville all over the country, that's appreciated.
I'm looking at one right now.
Are you?
Yeah, out the window. Oh, and we got a beautiful view right over there of Navy Pier.
That's right.
Yeah.
I asked you guys before the break at the top of the hour, who do you listen to today? Who do you like that's out there? I mean, obviously Kenny Chesney, but I'm talking about the kids that are coming up.
Well, we're both big fans of Casey Musgraves.
Casey Musgraves.
She's
great.
She's such
Casey
a fine writer.
Writer and performer.
She got a little old hillbilly in her, too.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And authenticity.
Right?
Eric Church is really good, too. I'm proud for what's coming along with those guys.
Right?
And yeah.
Because what you're talking about, that's what I like in country, is you get guys that they write for today, they look good for today, but they got enough old country in them. They have respect for where they came from, where the music came from.
Well, Lucas Nelson, too, I think is one of those, too. You know, I mean, he had pedigree, but he also has got his own thing going to me.
He can sound so when he sings Willie songs, when Lucas sings his dad songs,
right?
It's chill bumps.
He can go there. We did this. Is it out yet? I mean, I saw my part that we did.
Oh no, it hasn't aired yet. Yeah. But we played Willie's 85th birthday concert, and there were like 30 artists. It was an unbelievable roster. It's gonna I think air on A&E. But
I think it's on A&E. But he did it there. And but
they did a medley of the Redheaded Stranger stuff, and it's unbelievable.
Yeah,
let me tell you. Willie, I told a great story I'd heard a couple weeks ago about Willie in Nashville and leaving a box behind at the hotel and knocking on the door when the Japanese tourist is going, excuse me? Mm. Yeah, let me just come in for a second. I left something in the roof panel.
Yeah.
But we're always talking about studies we need to have, and I'm not a weed guy, but studies we need to have about whether or not weed is safe. Willie's 85 going on 170.
Right.
And he's probably going to live to be 170.
Yeah. He's touring.
Right?
In a bus.
Yes. It's just unbelievable.
Yeah.
He's making about three albums a year.
Mm-hmm. And your old buddy Matthew McConaughey was saying, I can't keep up with him. He goes, it's dangerous. You go on the road with Willie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So I want to have you play for us in a little bit, but you were talking about people you like. When you guys were coming up, now I know you're going to give credit to Jimmy, and rightfully so.
Right.
But who helped you guys, you know, make it? Who helped you get over the top?
When I was coming up, the people who helped me come up, The first one who I never met but I idolized was Gordon Lightfoot as a solo performer, but the people that really gave me the step up were the Eagles, because I'd met them right when they were starting to ascend, and we became friends, and they liked some of the stuff that I wrote, and then they put us on a tour with them, and then we went on the Hotel California tour as the opening act, and that was it.
I love that documentary. A couple years ago.
Gritsky.
You know? Yeah. And Glenn Frey looks like the Detroit tough guy he was, I assume.
He was, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he knew what he wanted, and he was going to get it.
Yeah. He was going to get it.
I didn't know he was from Detroit until after about 5 years after we became great friends, and we were neighbors in Aspen for a long time. But I didn't know he was from Detroit. I thought he was from L.A. guy.
Well, it's funny how you can see bands, epic, legendary, change the world bands like the Eagles. And Glenn Frey and Don Henley couldn't be two more different people.
Oh, right.
But you guys are like family.
Yeah, I mean...
But it works. What I'm saying is it can work both ways.
It can.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and the two of them, and then that whole writing experience they had. You look at the other people who were in the peripheral around them, from J.D. Salder to Jim mm-hmm. Head and people that they had with them.
Yeah.
Half of them from Texas and half of them from other parts of the world, but they somehow got that synergy together and made that jump.
They had the same big picture, and it was really good.
Yeah. Take me backwards now. What's it like opening for the Eagles when you're back then?
It was some days were scary, but other days you just had. I remember once we opened Gardens. Where did the Islanders play out on Long Island? I can't remember.
Nassau Coliseum.
We opened Nassau Coliseum for the Eagles, and had a drummer named Mike Gardner, and we came out. And let's just say, now that I lived my summers in Long Island's tough, you know. And we went out, and so as we were going out to open for him, he got Mike Gardner, our drummer, got hit in the head with a hot dog somebody threw
really
at him. And then so when we went into the Garden to open for him there, and this is the first time I'd ever been in Madison Square Garden, was opening for the Eagles, he thought it was kind of cute because he wore a helmet. And I said, I'd take that helmet off because you're only a target.
You are asking for
you're asking for it. So that was, but then we were able at that point, if you could get a certain small segment of that audience to like what you did, and they were very encouraging about the whole thing.
We're talking about dive bars off the air. What's the smallest gig you ever played?
I played once in Atlanta, and nobody showed up.
Zero?
Nobody, yeah.
And just at a bar?
It was a bar. What was it called?
You and the guitar? You had a band with you?
No, it was just me and a guitar. It was a New Year's Eve show, and I was hungover from Key West, and I made the show, and nobody else did.
Weather?
Weather and other things. So I played for the waitresses, and then we went home.
Was talking
not
about
together. We just went home.
I did one for one table that I would have paid to leave.
I did. I forgot. Yeah, before that, my worst job was singing. Was I table sang at a Mexican restaurant in the Bel Air Mall in Mobile, Alabama. It was not authentic Mexican
food. That's
good. Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Well, we're talking about making the gig worse.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because I still do a lot of stand-up, and when stand-ups get together, we talk about it all the time, and there was a club in St. Louis that I did for three people. The guy said, no, you got to do the show. And I sat at the table with the microphone. I came off the stage, sat at the table with the microphone, did the show with Molly.
I think it's the best thing out there. They made you do the show. When
people are there.
You got to do the show.
You got to do the show. And I remember in Biloxi, I was like hooting any night. We'd go trying to get on so we would be the weekend. And I was so nervous, and I was breaking strings. And then the owner, who, let's just say, he was working for the Boys on the Coast, he said, hey, if you break another string, I'm going to up and fire you. And and my partner said, what are we going to do? And I said, loosen them. and then
always been a problem solver.
We did the set, and the owner came and said, it's great. You guys have got the job. And in the middle, I remember going, this land is your land. I mean, we went down like two steps.
Right?
They were rolling.
The doing what you need
rolling.
To do.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mac is playing tomorrow night. You guys are playing, or Sunday night, I should say. You guys are playing tomorrow night. Sold out show at Alpine Valley. And Mac, tell everybody who you're playing with. Adam?
Oh, yeah, Adam Wakefield. Really good piano player, singer, songwriter. Happy to maybe give a leg up in
give
the same
shot.
Way that
Where's
I got a leg
from?
Up. My he's a Southern boy. I don't actually know where he's from, but we share a couple of representatives down there. He's opened a couple. He's going to open up my Atlanta shows as well. I started out. Jimmy said with the Eagles, my early was John Prine and Randy Newman and Steve Goodman here.
Is that right?
We played. I did the Ivanhoe and the Shubas and all,
that's great.
Lots of and those were my heroes. So I got the along with this guy. I brag on him enough, I will again.
My other most bizarre opening act was at the old Quiet Night when I opened for Neil Sedaka.
I opened for Neil Sedaka too. I got one. Yeah.
Wait a second.
Everybody wore bowling shirts.
Yeah, yeah. When Richard Harding had the, because you, when you were the opening act, you would go in and have a month worth of gigs, and then the headliner would change. So the month that I first came to Chicago and I worked there, the Siegel Swald band, Dan Hicks and the Hot Licks, Neil Sedaka and Jerry Jeff Walker. Yeah. That's who I opened for.
Yeah, that's some continuity there. Yeah. That's a
how wasted was the producer who put that show together? Do we know? Have the tests come back?
That's the most bowling
shirts. Richard booked it. I don't know.
There were a lot of bowling shirts in the audience, is what I remember.
Citywinery.com/Chicago. Make sure you get out Sunday night, even if you're going tomorrow night as well. You're tough. You can take it. Two nights in a row, great entertainment. We come back, you sing for us?
I'll do it.
Let's do the break first. It's been nothing but a pleasure seeing you two, and it's great. Jimmy, great to see you again. It's been years since you've been on the show because you stopped returning my calls.
Not
absolutely.
You move buildings.
I get fired a lot.
Yeah.
What do you want from me? I get fired a lot. Mac McAnally, you know Mac from the beginning. Was it 77?
77 was the first record. Yeah.
And down the road with Kenny Chesney and Old Flame with Alabama and over and over again. And how about 10 Musicians of the Year awards?
Yeah.
I can't understand it, but I'm grateful.
Well, God bless you, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good stuff. All right. What are you going to sing for me? All right, for everybody.
Well, I'm going to do a little psychological experiment at the risk of my own job here. I'm going to see if it's kind of like fishing. I'm going to put one of Jimmy's songs on the hook and see if he wants to jump in and sing a little bit, even though he's not supposed to sing.
He's just my road manager today.
He's got to sing 3 hours
let's
tomorrow.
Be honest
night.
Here. Put a microphone in front of you or me.
Right?
We'll see. But this, I learned this song in my front porch a long time ago with a lot of high regard for this guy, which is only built. I've got more regard for him now than I had then, and I've known him quite a few years at this point. I love this song. It's my favorite Jimmy song.
Mother, Mother Ocean, I have heard you call. Wanted to sail upon your waters since I was 3 feet tall. You've seen it all. You've seen it all. Watch the men that rode you switch from sail to steam. And in your belly you hold the treasure that few have ever seen. Most of them dreams. Most of them dreams.
What do you think?
Yeah.
Yes, I am a pirate. 200 years too late. Cannons don't thunder. There's nothing to plunder. I'm an over 40 victim of fate. Arriving too late. Arriving too late. I've done a bit of smuggling. I've run my share of grass. Made enough money to buy Miami, but I pissed it away so fast. Never meant to last.
Good harmony there.
I went up.
Never meant to last.
You want it?
Yep.
All right.
I have been drunk now for over 2 weeks. I passed out at a rally and I sprung a few leaks. But I gotta stop wishing. Gotta go fishing and down the rock bottom again. Just a few friends. Just a few friends.
Got a studio full today.
The musician of the year now. My lick. He stole it.
I go for younger women, live with several a while. Though I ran away, they come back one day and they still can manage a smile. Just takes a while. Just takes a while. Mother, Mother Ocean,
After all my years, I've found occupational hazard been. My occupation's just not around. Feel like I've drowned. Gonna head uptown. Feel like I've drowned. Gonna head uptown.
How about an ending now? Mr. Jimmy Buffett, ladies and gentlemen, that's how you write a song.
Oh.
Hope you noticed I stood up that time.
I know. What happened there?
Let me tell you something. That's goosebumps. I mean, that's just goosebumps.
What a song.
Well, let me just say, you know, you asked who my favorite singers are. My favorite solo performer is him.
It's just unbelievable.
Well, you know, and you see him and do that, as I said, but it takes a lot to do
that. I don't know if you guys heard, it's 9:30 in the morning. Imagine how good you're going to sound tomorrow night.
That is correct, yeah.
Unbelievable.
I'm getting just out of the hottest day of the year in Chicago quick.
Right?
Yeah, I'm going to go to the pool.
Oh, that's tremendous. I mean, I can't thank you enough for doing this.
Oh, Steve, great.
If Mac's all right with it in a couple seconds here, I'm going to have to do one more quickie because I want to create enough problems where we're late enough on the show that there's extensive meetings afterwards that I won't show up.
You're going to have to read a lot of copy later on, aren't you?
We'll catch up in good time. All right, Mac, give me one more before you go. What's it going to be?
Well, I'm going to pick a little bit since singing's hard in the morning. This is a little it's a little thing we do in the show sometimes. It's a beautiful little melody Dwayne Allman wrote originally.
A little thing. And
a little thing?
Yeah.
A little thing, you and a guitar.
A little thing they wrote.
I struggled to work this out, and I, for years I tried and I couldn't figure it out, and finally someone had the nerve to tell me that it was two guitars and I was an idiot. But I'm stubborn and I keep
trying.
We'll
play them both. Here all we right. go.
That's almost as bad as when he... How many strokes did you take when we played Augusta to get out of the trap and you wouldn't leave the trap?
I didn't quit. I don't give up.
Finish your task.
I took a 12 on number 7 at Augusta.
Wouldn't get out of the trap.
They were trying to give me putts. Jimmy's like, oh, he's not stopping.
Yeah, they didn't get it.
Okay. This is Little Martha by Dwayne Allman with some Big Mac on the side here. Didn't write this part.
The Deliverance comes out in him now. I'm narrating.
Come on. You ain't getting that up and down the dial.
No.
How good
that's
is that?
Why he's the 10-time musician of the year in Nashville, Tennessee. I'd be willing to bet nobody else can play that.
Here's the inspiration for kids. Until today, he had never played guitar. The other stuff was just
amazing.
Writing.
I know.
You guys are unbelievable.
Thanks, Steve.
I mean, just see how much you love each other, how much fun you're having is great. By the way, texters all over the country chiming in. Simply incredible. Jerry in Kansas. Oh, my God. Song's making me cry. Thanks for a beautiful morning. That's from Massachusetts. Just fantastic. I think just based on this audience, you two got...
made him cry? I want to know that one. Max or
Mother
mine?
Ocean.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Whew. Got it.
I don't get goosebumps from much anymore, unless it's a side effect from the meds I'm taking. But I'm telling you guys, really, fantastic.
Well, you make it happen. Thanks.
Thanks for letting us in the door.
Well, bless you both, man. Thanks for being here. And don't forget, tomorrow night, you're going to have a great time. I don't need to tell you that. If you have tickets to the show, congratulations. And then if there's any seats left, get them before they're gone for Sunday night. CityWinery.com/Chicago and see Mac McAnally. A little bonus performance. And you guys, please come in anytime you can.
Okay, but somebody said that'd be breakfast.
Yeah, there are. There's lots of places.
That was in the rider. Come on.
All over
next
Chicago.
Time. All right.
Yeah, I'll hook you up.
Okay, cool.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Mac McAnally and his pal Jimmy Buffett. We're back with the news next.
What's the best way to prepare for disaster? It's a question lots of people are asking these days as the planet heats up and we face one unprecedented disaster after another. My interest in disasters started with one specific disaster that took place in Chicago in July 1995, one of the deadliest heat waves in U.S. history so far.
When I moved here in 1994, it was just a year before the heat wave in 95, and with the weather we're having this weekend, there couldn't be a more timely time to talk about this. The 1995 Chicago heat wave, and I'm very happy to have in studio Judith Helfand. And Judith, I'm pronouncing the last name right, I hope?
Helfand, yes.
Yeah, okay, good.
It means elephant in Yiddish.
Okay. Well, you look fabulous, so let's not give people on the radio the wrong idea. Cooked, Survival by Zipco, Peabody Award-winning filmmaker Judith Helfand's investigation into the politics of disaster. 739 people died. Now, we're not talking about 1900 here. We're not talking about 1850. We're talking about an era where air conditioning existed, that we had, EMTs and people could be rescued, but it turns out the zip code piece of this is too big a part of the story, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Talk about that.
Well, the people who lived and died during that heat wave were experiencing health disparity and inequity and the long-term impact of economic exclusion and the long-term impact of segregation for generations. So what happens with an extreme weather event often is that not only does it reveal the long-term impact of us denying climate change or the climate crisis, but it reveals the long-term impact of us as a society and a nation denying the long-term impact of segregation, the impact of...
Well, the real-world health implications, right?
Real-world health
the
implications.
The inequities.
Right, absolutely. So the inequities that exist every single day and that determine who lives and dies early and earlier in their life expectancy every single day absolutely plays itself out.
There's a lot of well-meaning people who will say things like, if it's so terrible in this neighborhood or that neighborhood, why do they live there? You live where you live because that's where you live.
Well, where you live, especially if it's a community that you love and you've lived there, your family has lived there for generations.
And what do we know? We know that 99.9% of the people in the toughest neighborhoods in Chicago and New York and anywhere else in the country, all they want is the same thing everybody else wants. And in 1995, when all this hit, the heat wave, there weren't cooling centers. There weren't places that you could go.
There were some cooling centers.
Not like they're publicized today. Not like, there weren't buses driving around picking people up and taking them places. It was almost like a blizzard that set down, and you were on your own or you were up to your neighbor to check on you and stuff. And the people that died, we're not saying all of them could have been saved, but a lot of people didn't have to die.
Oh, absolutely. No question about that. I mean, one thing is for sure, and there's a map that was created by Dr. Steve Whitman, who was the chief epidemiologist at the time for the city, and he plotted where the greatest heat deaths were, and that's exactly where the greatest amount of poverty was. And it was also where Even then, and certainly now, the greatest amount of empty lots, the greatest amount of boarded up buildings, the greatest amount of heart disease, diabetes, death by breast cancer, death by treatable diseases on one side of town, death by treatable diseases that on the other side of town don't go untreated.
And you think about people that are medically fragile to begin with.
Absolutely.
And you fold in 100 degree to 110 degree heat indexes, it's over.
And exactly. Or you fold in the fact that they might be afraid to go outside, or they might not know their neighbors anymore because there's been so much movement.
Yeah.
And there's so much gentrification on some level that there's a lot of isolation.
And people don't want to ask for help. Right. You know, people don't want to ask for help. And some of that stuff is neighborhood. Some of it isn't. But, well, tell you what, I want to make sure people know where they can see Cooked. So let's do this. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. And then I want you to tell people where you can see Cooked. And I want to talk to you just quickly, because we'll run out of time, about how you put a story together. Because okay. I think it's really fascinating. So for all of you wondering how to be an award-winning documentarian, stand by. We'll answer the question in just a second. We'll give you all the secrets. There's no way to have enough time to do this topic justice fairly, but I do want you to know Cooked is making Chicago premiere right now through the 25th at the Gene Siskel Film Center, of the School of Art, the Art Institute, 24 years to the day after the 1995 Chicago heat wave, it opened. And there are panel discussions that are taking place tonight and tomorrow night. What is the one tonight that we're talking about?
Tonight is called Radical Resilience, the Art and Soul of Placemaking, Place Taking Back, and Transformation. And the people who are going to be speaking, we kind of are framing them as a new brand of community-based first responders. And they are addressing the inequity and the long-term impact of segregation and racism on a daily basis that determines who lives and dies every day. But they are doing it in such an extraordinary way that I believe that if we invested, you know, in these kind of community-based responses and community-based institutions, that's where the heat emergency plan is. It's a human emergency plan.
Right. And to take it that seriously and treat it like it's don't react. Don't wait and then react.
There's no reason
act now.
We know exactly which part of the city is living well and or dying early every single day. I don't know if you know that. I'm sure you do. A big study just came out by NYU based on public health data from all across the country, and they looked at the life expectancy gap in cities across the country.
Mm-hmm.
And in Chicago, it's 30 years. So in Inglewood, people on average might die at 61.
It's outrageous.
And in Streetersville, 91. That's the public health emergency, and that is completely linked to what could happen during an extreme weather event.
If people can't get to the Siskel Center, give them a website they can go to.
www.cookedthefilm.com.
And keep up the fine work you're doing. We're not going to tell documentarians how to do your job yet, but I think it's really interesting the way you do. It's always been called, in the stuff I've seen about you, connecting the dots.
Yeah.
You know, almost investigative reporting, but then putting the story together as you found the facts to be.
That's right. Yeah, it's kind of, I try to make it somewhat transparent, somewhat quirky,
mm-hmm.
a little toxic comedy.
And the truth is, it's got to be entertaining. It's got to be entertaining for people to watch it. I don't mean in a flip way. I'm saying you have to entertain people to engage them in the truth.
Absolutely.
Nice to see you.
Thank you so much for the work you're doing. And thank you, Chicago. I hope you'll join us at the Siskel.
And let's stay safe this weekend.
Yes.
Judith Helfand. It's the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom, and that's where Steve is next. You know, for Michael and Joe, well, before I do that, let me do this. A pair of tickets to see Dave Koz and Friends, Summer Horns, next Friday, 9 o'clock, Silver Creek Event Center at Four Winds Casino in New Buffalo. You love Dave Koz? You love this. Tickets at Ticketmaster.com. We'll give away tickets now to caller number. You want two pair or one pair, Joe? Is it two or one? Well, I'll let you decide. Caller 7. Caller 7 at 312-981-7200. Here's what I was going to say. With Super Joe, with Michael Eidemann, with Mary Sandberg, you know, the production staff that puts this show together. This week, Captain James Lovell. This morning, the incredible story of the guy who most people know from The Godfather, Gianni Russo, Hollywood Godfather of the book. He's in town selling spaghetti sauce. Incredible stories. And then Jimmy Buffett with his friend Mac McAnally singing live in studio.
Oh, you forgot Coach Fitz.
And when Coach Fitz
and
David.
He brought a helmet.
Coach Fitz and David.
Yeah.
Point being.
Yeah.
I'd listen to this show.
Sure.
Even if it wasn't called the Steve Cochran Show. So I thank you for the support, and hopefully we've earned your support with a week like this week. And the podcast of those live performances and the full Jimmy Buffett, Mac McAnally interview will be up before 12. Okay. And Bill F.'s continuing effort to find a suitable substitute while Wendy's out.
Yes.
He continues to bring people in and throw them out. Who will be thrown out after today's show? Mark Harmon?
Yes. A young broadcaster, Mark Harmon. The ladies love him.
Young?
All the guys want to be him. All the ladies want to date him.
Thanks for naming that, Dave. I am no longer young. Haven't been for a while. It's unfortunate.
Also taken.
You know what Mark really enjoys from being on the show many times? Talk about the wedding.
Well, we did. We talked about the wedding. We got some problems solved yesterday.
Oh, you did?
Yes, we did. Your show was so surprising today
because
number one,
here?
You weren't supposed to be here, so I turned it on and I went, well, they're obviously playing an old tape of Steve's from years and years ago.
It's funny, if I'd gone to the reunion, that's what they called it, an old tape.
And then Jimmy Buffett just happens to stop in. What a mound of surprises.
Yeah, and you know what I loved about that? And you know this because we're blessed. We get to talk to some amazing people.
Yeah.
He's always been unbelievably cool. But, you know, we're told by the support people, Jimmy's not going to sing. Don't ask Jimmy to sing. Mackelson, don't ask Jimmy to sing. You sit down with a guy.
Yeah.
You have some fun. You have a conversation. You know, you just talk. Just hanging out. Just the fellas hanging out. He sang. You know why he sang? Because he wanted to sing.
He sang a bunch of times.
Yeah. So, I don't
know.
You
won him over. Well, you didn't need to win him over. He already liked you, but he didn't come in with the intention of singing.
No. And at 9:30 in the morning,
yeah.
You don't ask Jimmy Buffett to sing. You don't ask Gianni Russo to whack a guy. You
no.
Know.
There's certain rules you have to abide by.
What are you guys doing today?
You know, I don't know how to approach this, but Steve Bertrand told Mark and I something very personal about himself today.
Oh, wow, this
today.
Is great.
Very personal.
Love it.
I did not hear the words not for air, so we'll share that with the listeners.
Okay. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Extremely personal.
Steve, I'm telling you, if it doesn't go away in a couple days, you've got to get to a clinic.
it's the heat.
I'll be back on Monday with made-up stories about the reunion I didn't attend. I hope you all have a great weekend, Bill.